My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I am always happy and pleased to be here, looking forward to the opportunity to share a word with those of you who feel led to call in, because we have to be ready and willing to participate in our world if we're going to make a difference. I'm going to take a short break so that we can give some time for everyone to get called in. But we have some things we want to discuss this evening in regards to, are you prepared? That's what it is, are you prepared? Are you ready to make a difference? We'll be right back after this break.
As long as I got you by my side, I don't care what your people Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 o'clock Western Time. Today I just want to talk about, you know, I saw a story today about a citizen who came to the rescue of a trooper out in Arizona. And I'm always constantly questioning myself as I talk about the things going on in our world. Am I prepared and ready to stand? Am I prepared or ready to put my life on the line and to step up and to do what is right in ways that a humane person would do? And, you know, we are in trying times right now when there's some evil going on from east to west to north to south, and we have to decide, you know, what role we will play as good citizens. Will we quietly watch our world go into destruction? Or when we are called, will we step up and make a difference? Again, here you have a motorist who passed by and noticed that a trooper was in grave dire, where a gentleman had jumped out and taken advantage of him and was nearly beating him to death. Now, where would you be at this moment when that happens? Where will you be in the moment that your name is called, your number is called, and you are to make a decision? You know, there are a lot of things going on, and we have to be ready. And not just for violent situations, but for situations where the moral value of our society is coming into question. And we have to ask, are we going to sit by and watch the world go past us and not intervene? Are we going to risk the thing that is most valuable to us, our lives, our humanity, or our moral compass? These are the kinds of things we have to ask ourselves in these dire times right now. D, welcome to the show. You're the first caller to call in. You know, we are in some trying times. And as men, you know, the other day we were talking about being a man. A lot of things out there testing our manhood, and we have to decide where we're going to be when our number is called, when someone asks us to stand up or a situation asks us to stand up. What are your thoughts on having to be ready when that time comes?
Well, James, thank you for your show. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for asking the tough questions. Because a lot of people in today's time shy away from the tough question. They don't want to be challenged well enough to think about much of anything. But, you know, when we in this world, we come to a point in life where we want to know the reason for our existence. And it's quite simple once you've been around long enough and you live through trials and errors, and God's grace have kept you in this world long enough to where you can amount to something. And so the point of the matter is that we are here basically to be of service to somebody else. You know, it's easy to be locked in our own head and to stroke our own ego and be full of ourselves, like we know 80% of the world is. But your point of existence is to be here for somebody else, to do service. And the person that stepped up and made a difference to stopping this perpetrator, this thug, this inhumane person, you can't call him a gentleman because that's just too easy to say. He's an inhumane individual. And the person that stepped up should be, and I'm sure he will be, accommodated, probably with a medal from the governor of Arizona. But, you know, to add credence to your point, enough is enough. I'm tired. I'm actually kind of pissed off about how things have gone, how we have watered down how things are supposed to be. You know, this generation has been called the weakest generation. The generation of World War II and things of that sort has been called the greatest generation. It's because they have endurance. And they have bravery. They have due diligence. But if I had been in that situation, I can only pray that I would have been in a position to make a difference, to stop the perpetrator. Because you got to understand the times we live in. Had that person got away, he could have easily went into a McDonald's and held everybody in there hostage until where that situation could become a dire situation. My hometown actually is Atlanta, and I have been up close and personal, well, not personal, but up close in some hostage situation in the past 20 years. Two of them made national news. And so you have to stop these people. Had that been my number to be called, I can only hope that I would have been able to do something and in the end result still go home to my family. You know, we do want to be there for our kids and our family. I have small kids, even at my age. And it is my intention to be there as a father to them, to show them how to grow up and be men in this world, to account for something, to play down thug life, which has really plagued our generation and the generation behind us. Thug life and do your own thing, and if it feels good, do it. That's how I came up, and that was the mantra when I was coming up. And what you're seeing now is a fallout from that mindset. And that's where I stand with it.
Well, I have to tell you that you're right. We have to question, you know, who we are as men and what we're prepared to do to save the lives of another. You know, as believers, it said, there's no greater service than to give your life for someone else. But the deal is that when I look back, I wasn't a part of the draft. I didn't go into service. I didn't train. I trained to play football, but I never trained to be prepared and ready to go to battle to save another person's life. And in that instance where this gentleman stopped his car and assisted this trooper, he knew he was going into battle and that he did not know the end result of what was coming out. And so many men and people in this day and time, since we have a volunteer military, don't know what it is to train to be honorable and to be heroic. And being heroic has to be something that's in someone's spirit to recognize that despite putting my life on the line, this is something that I have to do. I cannot take the small person's way out and turn my back on the life of another when they need me to intervene. And so it is important over all these bad things that we see happen that we give acknowledgement to the fact that there's people still out there who, when their number is called, do the right thing. How you doing today, Joyce? How you doing this evening?
Hi, how you doing?
This heroic thing took place in your area, Joyce. What's your understanding of what took place on this highway and how the citizens came to the rescue of this trooper?
Well, it was my understanding that the trooper was on his way to check out another incident, but while he was on his way, he saw that this rollover where this woman had crashed herself, and he was trying to assist her, and all of a sudden from out of nowhere, to my understanding, is that someone fired upon him and then was beating his head against the pavement, whereas a passerby stopped, and he went and got his gun and shot him. And then one of the ladies, she got on the another bystander got on the police thing to ask for assistance, and they helicoptered him, the trooper, to the hospital. Actually, the good citizens saved the guy's life. He was on his way en route to California. But I'm just so glad that but people do stop, because a lot of times people see things, but they still go. You know what I mean? You see and you don't see, you know. But I'm just so glad that he was a good citizen to stop and acknowledge that the patrolman needed assistance, need help.
And people need to recognize we lost two African-American officers here in Orlando. And, you know, we're right now grieving the loss, and they will be buried this weekend. And we appreciate the efforts that these officers put on the line and the lives they put on the line. But we as citizens have to be prepared to do the same thing. You know, I spent the last 10 years of my teaching career in the jail, and I was surrounded by men who thought it was better that you keep your mouth closed, that you don't get into other people's business, and that they saw themselves as the kind of people who did not look out for the lives of others. And so when you are out here, we have to look out for each other. We have to be prepared to stand up for each other, because there is a minority of evil that exists in our society, and it needs us as human beings to do the right thing when our number is called. So, Dee, and I think you kind of spoke on it when you made mention of the fact that, you know, men nowadays don't see or not being taught like the men who were a part of the service to give service and give their lives for another, because, you know, we didn't grow up during that time when there was a draft. And so, therefore, we missed the opportunity to learn.
I'll be right back. Yes, I'm sorry.
You have to be ready to do that.
Absolutely. And I want to say hello to Joyce. And
hello.
Glad to hear your voice.
Thank you.
There are trying times. You know, in this day and age, we live in funny times. It's kind of strange, and it's disappointing. Me being a man of 60, yeah, and I have to keep saying that, and I'm no old fogey in any sense of the word. I'm just a observer in this day and age. And, you know, with the access of social media, a lot of people would see things going on like that or to a lesser degree, and they find it entertaining enough to where they'll stop, watch it, and even start filming it and put it on Facebook and this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's disheartening to know that people are unsensitive to the need of holding up righteousness, law and order. And, you know, in your opening statement, you spoke about this evil entity that's plaguing our society. And, you know, we all, as people and as a society, we have differences. You know, we all have religious differences, and obviously we have political differences. But at the end of the day, we all are people. We are the human race. And, you know, it's important that we come to one another's need and assistance. And, you know, and it's kind of sad that we have to kind of wait for a disaster to hit your town, like a tornado or something like that, before we even get an opportunity to know who our neighbors are. And so I think, you know, your show is so important to me where, you know, I'm on this crusade. I'm on this personal crusade to where, you know, enough is enough. And it's time to stand up. And, you know, what I'm about to say is a whole other issue, but, you know, in my own community, in my African-American community, if black lives really do matter, then we all should come up and have a say about what's going on and try to put an end to it in some kind of fashion.
And you're so right. You know, it's we cannot sit by and just be happy in our little cocoon of safety and comfort. We have to be ready and prepared to have purpose. And if our lives don't have any other purpose than to serve ourselves, to make comfort for ourselves, then we really are not contributing anything. How do you do on this evening, Audrey?
Fantastic Friday.
All right, Audrey, we're talking about the human commitment to others, and an example of that was in Arizona, a citizen came to the aid of a trooper, saving his life when someone jumped him and was nearly about to kill him. And but it's a broader picture about what do you do when your number is called. One of the things Dee brought up about the social media is that we're in a situation now where people get so much so much enjoyment out of filming people fighting and hurting one another. They're so busy filming the evil and ugliness that they're not getting involved to break up fights. They want to see fights increase in violence. And so now we have to ask ourselves, when our number is called, how will we intervene or what will we do to make sure that we make a positive difference in the lives of those who may be in a struggling or harmful situation? What are your thoughts, Andre?
I think you were right, and I joined on the end of the gentleman's comments of enough is enough, and we really do have to come together. And he's right, you know, from days of old, the neighborhood really supported each other. Every household, you knew your neighbors, you shared things, and now we've become, and we're in certain communities, if you would, and like you said, we don't reach out and really understand or know all of our neighbors until it is a critical issue that comes up. So, yeah, we have to just continue to just build relationships, build community, identify what our goals are. As it was mentioned, if Black lives, well, all lives matter, of course, we have to just really put action behind those words.
And, Joyce, you know, we sit here, and one of the things that, you know, our churches and our organizations, we have to learn to send a message through these organizations and these churches that we want our lives to change in a positive direction. We need to talk against the highlighting of violence and the, just like you say, we're here for service. Our purpose is to serve and to intervene in the lives of people who need us to step up and make a difference.
That's true. Mostly everybody, when we was growing up, more or less, we had a lot of involvement with the church. Our goal now and what we need, too, is to bring our young people back to church so they can get those lessons, so they can get that encouragement, so they can be encouraged to say right for wrong and to speak up and do the right thing. That's key, doing the right thing. We also need to invite the law enforcement within, not only within the community, but within the church system, too, and speak to the congregation and let them know that, you know, we need the unity from the outside and the inside. But like Andre had indicated, that we're so spread out now, and we're thinking that we're in different areas, but we were a close-knit where it was just us, you know, our race, more or less. But now our race is so infiltrated in other areas and stuff. So now half the people know you don't need know your neighbor, not until something seriously happened. But we have to start doing what they call block association. When the new neighbor come, we need to let them know they are welcome into our community, get to know who they are, and be more personable. And I think we've gotten away from that. Everybody's so busy and everything, but we need to be more personable, get to know each other, and communicate more. And this way, once you get to know, you get to knowing each other's personalities, different cultural, and this way it's understanding. The reason why we don't understand each other because we're not communicating and knowing, get to knowing each other as to what we're all about.
And we need to see our law enforcement as an extension of our community. And that needs to be taught to both the law enforcement and the citizens, that we should not be adversaries, but we should be a part of the same team. And, you know, we need to be taught or retaught that lives are important and that we need to intervene when we see our fellow man in distress. To be able to just watch someone being hurt and not intervene is a serious situation. You know, when I'm watching stories and I see a car that's being wrecked and I see a law enforcement officer or a citizen run over despite the fact that there's fire, I have to tell you, I'm scared of fire. And so the thought of running over to a car that's on fire, knowing that there's gasoline in the tank, and still be willing to do whatever you can to get those people out, that would be an extreme test for me. I would like to think that I can do it. I don't know if I could because I've never been put in a position where I had to make that kind of decision or choice. I've never been asked to intervene when I see two people struggling or fighting. I do remember when I used to be a security guard at one of the apartment complexes when I was helping out a friend who had a security a business. I had to be forced to break up a few fights. It was just hard for me. I could not imagine there are men and women. I know one fight I broke up where two women were fighting over this man, and the man was sitting there watching his wife fight his mistress. And I'm sitting there saying, and I told him he was less than a man to sit there and watch these two women fighting. And a lot of men were doing that. And as I was intervening, he walked up behind me and I had to turn around and grab him by his collar. And then I turned back and broke these two women up. But I just, nowadays it's like if you intervene in something like that, you might get shot. But it is just a thing where you have to ask yourself or question yourself, where do I stand when I'm needed? What am I willing to put on the line when the time comes? And we have to celebrate those people who are willing to do the right thing when the right time comes. Don't you think, Dee?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Specify something on one of the points that you made when you spoke about we should make an effort to get re-involved with our law enforcement. I got to tell you that I think that's critical. When I was coming up as a kid, the sheriff's department used to come to our school. When I was in elementary school, they used to come out to our school and they used to acquaint themselves with us. And we was fascinated by the uniform and the fact that they had a gun in the holster and the badges and all of that. And we felt comfortable with them, But, like before Andre came on and I said that, I'm not an old fogey. I'm just an experienced guy. So a lot of things that I say, it may sound old-timey, but it kind of makes sense to me. And one of which is that, when gangster rap music came out, when it first hit the scene, and Ice-T and NWA made their fortune with some of the hits such as Cop Killers and stuff like that. And one of the things that I have trouble with people that, and I like rap music. I like the beat, and I'm a retired DJ, so I like rap music. But the difference is that some people don't know how to differentiate reality from fantasy, where they think these lyrics you're supposed to live. And I think that And I bet you a dollar to donuts that this guy that jumped on this trooper, and we had to take this idea into account, that a lot of these things are gang initiations. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you want to be in this game, you gotta call law enforcement over and ambush them or whatever. I mean, it can be it just senseless stuff, crazy stuff. And so, if my number was ever called, and it has been, with something a lot less dangerous, I've broken up a couple of fights, but at the end of the day, I do want to go home to my kids and wife. I think my purpose in life at this time is to be a father to my kids. We were talking about our president. Last night how he has shown a great example of what a husband's supposed to be, and what a father's supposed to be, and that's what I want to be to my kids. My daddy was a Rolling Stone, and I don't want to be that for my kids, and I won't be. And it's my mission not to be, you know. So, but when my number is called, if it's a little less dire straight, I will intervene, or I will surely try to get some help, or take my car and run the person over, something to that effect. I don't know if I would be willing to get close enough for hand to hand to try to intervene in that way.
Well, you know, when your number is called, you can react in many ways. And certainly getting on the phone and calling for help, making sure you observe what's going on so that you can give an account, those are the kinds of things that count as well. You know, sometimes people don't even want to get involved. They don't even want to call the police and tell them what they saw. And so we can't live in a society where we let lawlessness run rampant. We have to be willing to intervene and do what it takes to put that kind of uprising down. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and saying, what kind of person would I be if a drug dealer was living next door to me and I knew what he was doing every day, and I wouldn't even
make a
phone call. I wouldn't even write a letter. I mean, that means you're participating in the evilness in your community. When you don't call someone or turn in your uncle, or you don't turn in your nephew, or you're not willing to do what is the best for your community, even if it requires you to turn in family. Wrong is wrong. And I tell my daughter all the time, I'm not going to go to jail for you. If I know you're doing something that's illegal, and, you know, right now we had here in Orlando, 3 or 4 people have been arrested because they're still looking for Marquise Lloyd. And so now his ex-girlfriend is in jail. His, I think his niece is in jail. His former boss is in jail. And these people interacted with him after he shot his ex-girlfriend. And so they were aware where he was, and they were giving him aid. And so now they're going to be held accountable. So I think as citizens, we have to be prepared. When I say your number is called, to intervene in some fashion, that what you're doing in regards to your kids is just wonderful. There is no greater service than turning children into good citizens. And so that's what we have to do throughout our country, but we have to be prepared to be good servants, not only to God, but to our civilization. Joyce, your thoughts?
Well, you're right on that, and kids are going to take notice as to how you do things and how you go about doing things. I know that when I first moved here in my community, I was turning my neighbor in. I didn't know that, and he was the police. I didn't realize that I was calling the police department, but I was letting them know that he was parked. Well, I didn't know that it was him at the time, but I noticed that this car was parked in a certain area, but it was on my side, and it was scary to me late at nighttime. And the next day was gone before day, and I just called the police department to ask them to investigate. Little did I know that my neighbor came over and knocked on the door and told me, because he was in violation, you know. And my thing is, I don't mind you, if you're going to be in violation, don't be parking a car in front of my yard, in front of my house, to make me feel like I'm the person who's violating the law. Next thing I know, the guy come knocking on the door telling me that he was the police. It was really funny, but that was the way that I got to know my neighbor, you know. But, and, you know, he apologized, and because my thing is, you was breaking the law, and you were, you know, you were the law enforcement, which I did not know that. But you can't be afraid to say something, you know. And then if you're afraid to say who you are, what you're all about, you can remove yourself from this, the scenery, but still report it. You know, my son was telling me that he went into the store early one morning, and he saved the person behind the register, I guess that person's life because the guy was kind of threatening, and he just casually walked out the store and removed himself. He drove over to the across the street, and he called the police department, but he was still in vision where he could see, you know, see what was going on. So people and our kids will see how you do things, and if you're willing to step up, it's taught down, and eventually they're going to do the right thing too. So we got to pattern our kids as to doing what is right. Never put yourself in a dangerous situation where you feel uncomfortable, but do what's right. Remove yourself, but still do the right thing.
And we want to grow a community of servants. We want to have people who are willing to step up and help one another to get through hard times. And that's what Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is about, galvanizing a group of individuals who are willing to talk out issues and make sure that we are a part of the solution and not continuing the problem. We have to make sure that we talk about what's going on in our society and be willing to stand up against those individuals who are not doing the right thing. And so we cannot have people preying on innocent people, not on our innocent children, not on our innocent women, and not on our innocent society. We have to be willing to say, hey, enough is enough, and we're going to stand for right and not participate and support those individuals who are trying to bring down our society. Audrey, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I'm in agreement. Yes, I'm in agreement. And you're so right as parents and, you know, seniors in our community. So we have to take action because, as Joy said, people are, our young really are watching us, and it's not so much of what we say, but it's actually what we do. And in the meantime, we're instilling them the courage to take action. And like you said, what greater gift is to say that you had your hands in producing a positive citizen, a person that's making the community better, a person that's leaving their area, their environment better than the manner in which they found it. And it takes us, again, you'll hear me keep saying it, we have to communicate with each other. We have to build relationships. And, you know, it's not about the big numbers all the time. Sometimes you have to start small and make a true impact on a person's life. And then that person in return will make an impact on a person's life. And if more and more of us are doing that, then we'll see a difference, and it'll be a positive difference for us.
And we have to be willing to intervene. And we can't look around and think that somebody's life is not worth us being an example. You know, we all have burdens. We all carry the burden of being protectors to our children, being the person to provide shelter and food for those who care about us. But we can't close our eyes to those outside of ourselves as though we are the only persons that exist. We are beyond the halfway mark. I'm going to take another break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation about where will you be when your number is called and how will you stand up for right.
Tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah. Let's take a shower, shower together. I'll wash your body, you wash mine, yeah.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Renee, but I meant Joyce. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Joyce?
What is the question now?
I was asking, how do we assist our children in making sure they understand that they need to, in order to be good citizens, they have to look beyond themselves and service their communities, their towns, and their state?
Well, actually, you have to actually start in the home, getting them involved, letting them know who they are, what they stand for, what their blueprint is all about. And once they know who they are and what they blueprint and what they bring in as a family, as a citizen, and let them know what is expected of them, I think that helps. Now, in my household, how we raised our son is that everyone had a job, you know, and what was required and what we do. And even our son as a child, he had a job. His job was the only thing that we asked at that time was to bring home good grades, do the right thing, don't get in trouble and the whole bit. So I think it has to start within the home, then getting them involved within the community, the boys club, the church functions or whatever, and go from there within the school, getting them busy and just putting them in positive environment, talking, movies. We used to sit down and explain to movies and back it up at the time when they had the recorders where you can back up a movie, play it forward, come back. We put it on pause, break it down, how we see things in the whole bit and what the movie is really actually saying. And it's just communication. Like Andre had always said, since day one, we got to communicate. And communication is key on all levels.
Dee, how are you going about making sure your children understand the importance of being good citizens?
Well, I'm in concurrence with what Joyce just said. And it sounds like her household, like your household and like Andre's household, I'm sure, and mine, our households it has structure. And structure is an an important component in teaching children how to do, is what my mother used to call it, how to do. Unfortunately, there's a great number of people in the world who have not had that structure. And so when that becomes the case, my formula and my strategy is to show people how to do, by example. My occupation is that I'm a parcel delivery person, like UPS, FedEx, stuff like that. So I have the opportunity to come in contact with a lot of people. And in my everyday journey, when I meet people, it's always my intent to show people how to pay it forward. Good morning when you come in. How's everybody? The proper things to do. A lot of people have walls up and barriers up because they are accustomed to not being friendly or being cordial with people. And so it is always my intent to show people how to do, without their knowledge, of course. I'm just doing it as a everyday activity. So, you know, paying it forward is a good strategy. People want to do right by human nature. We all want the same thing. We all want shelter, security, and love. And so sometimes people just don't know how to obtain that. And a lot of times people that do know, like the four of us, we have to show them. We have to kind of pay it forward.
And, you know, that's such a wonderful thought. And I love that movie, and I love what the focus we put on that. And sometimes we have to find our own individual ways to pay it forward. And certainly you were paying it forward when you served as a way of saving someone's life. That is certainly a way of paying it forward. But every day is an opportunity to be a positive role model in the lives of other people, be a positive role model in our society. And so every day we're given an opportunity to pay it forward, and we have to look at the opportunity and embrace it and recognize that every little thing that we do can make the difference in our society. And we have so much to do. We can't turn our backs on what it is that we have to do. There's so much to do in our society. And we have to be willing to commit ourselves to trying to make a difference in the lives of others that are around us, and encouraging everyone who we meet to be a good citizen, to vote. I mean, there's so many things that show that we are good citizens. Voting, going on jury duty, investing in our leadership, donating to our leaders, and supporting people who are trying to make a difference. Andre, what are some of the things that you do to show that you are a good citizen?
That's an interesting question. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You volunteer a lot.
thank you, Joy, for the help. And I say it's kind of tough to think about it because I would hope that I'm in a part of my life where everything that I do is making a positive difference as a citizen. I mean, mm-hmm. Anytime I come across a situation, I do try to, you know, participate to support it or whatever the case may be. And so Joyce was right, you know, volunteer, that's the physical support there in, you know, some certain organizations which I really believe are important that I provide financial support in. But, you know, when I come across people that I don't necessarily even know, you know, it's all about encouraging them and, you know, sharing experiences if indeed I'm asked or whatever the case, and valuing them enough such that, you know, let them know that I'm learning from them and I appreciate them and who they are. You know, sometimes I found myself in one situation and, you know, I try to be as safe as I can, but I was in an area where I was meeting someone, and you know, a person came up to my vehicle in the meantime, and I definitely just started talking. I felt safe with them or whatever, but it was just important to let that person know that they're valuable, because, you know, we never know why people fall on hard times, but let me tell you, those are good people. They're knowledgeable people. They're caring people. And I tell you what, when I was back in Mississippi and, you know, again, you knew the neighborhood and they looked out for you and that kind of stuff like that, it's a plenty of times that I'm thinking that harm could have been caused to me, but because of the fact that, you know, you're known in the neighborhood. No, don't mess with that Lewis girl. Don't mess with that Lewis girl. And that's just part of it, because they know that our family was about giving back to the community. So it's a variety of things of just our day-to-day lives in which we can demonstrate our being good citizens.
Where's the phone, Lonnie?
Well, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is the kind of show that we want to encourage people to be involved in other people's lives. We want to encourage people to do the right thing. We want to encourage people not to see anything but a human being. You know, so often we want to pick and choose who we give assistance to. But we need to recognize that all of us deserve to be assisted and helped to get beyond the obstacles that exist in our lives. We can't all be at the same place at the same time. And so we need people ready and prepared to intervene to give us assistance. And sometimes those people who find themselves in high places or find themselves in a comfortable place don't want to give assistance to those who may be struggling. And we have to, on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, we want to make sure that we are prepared to stand up, but not only ourselves, not only our children, not only our wives, but for those who may be strangers. And that's what makes the difference in who we are and what we stand up for. Dee, what is your thought about that?
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, I had the mute on. You know, every day is a opportunity, like Joyce said, is an opportunity to be awesome. And, you know, like Andre said, you know, we get to a certain point in our life where now is the time to make a difference, okay? You know, like we were saying, when you see something going on in your community and you know that it's going to be harmful to your community, to the kids in the community, to the community itself, we can always make a difference by making an anonymous tip call and things like that. But, you know, it's my quest to be awesome. Now, I mean, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be the difference maker. I want to be the go-to guy in this stage of my life. And that's why I love your show so much, because, you know, there's a lot of podcasts on the airway today. And the content for the most part is so weak. They ramble. They don't know what to really talk about. But, you know, this is where we are. This is where we are. We said last night, it's time to strap up and to make a difference. And when we come in contact with people, everyday people, your sister, your mother, in-laws, everyday people, it's our opportunity to show them subtly how to do. Now, they may not acknowledge that initially, but when they're by themselves in the mirror, and day by day, it'll rub off. It'll rub off, and we have to have faith that it will rub off, because that's why we're here. We're here to serve, and that's why I sing it.
And you know, and that's what we have to be committed to. And we can't sit back and let other people have the highlight of taking advantage of this new technology. We got to be prepared to take advantage of it ourselves. We have to use it for the betterment of our communities, for the betterment of those organizations that serve us. We have to use it to encourage people. We have to use it to incite people when they need to be incited. to participate. And we have to make sure that we are not a lone wolf. We can't do anything when you're a lone wolf. We have to be a pack. And that's what I want to create. I want to create a pack of individuals who are ready and prepared to make a difference in our world. And I know that there's enough of us out there who are strong enough in different areas to say, hey, we're not going to sit back and relax. We're going to participate. We're not going to fat cat it because we have a good job, a good standard of living. We're going to watch the world go by. We want to make a difference in the world. And, Joyce, I know that you are still trying to make a difference. After all the things that you've accomplished and all the things that you've done, you are still making a difference, not only through your son, but in the things that you're doing now and continue to do to be a good citizen. And why is that important to you, Joyce?
Well, I guess it was just the way that I raised, and it is important to me. It's because that has a lot to do with it, and it's doing the right thing. It's good citizenship, you know. This is who my makeup is all about, and that's who my blueprint. I owe it to my family name. I owe it to my husband's family name, and that is to for the next generation, get them prepared so they can be good citizen to live in society by doing the right thing. It was taught to me, and I think it's our duty to pass it on to everyone else.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and have our final word. So get your final word together. We'll be right back.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that's it. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it.
Everything to do with it. I want you all to get in the habit of calling in every day to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. We want you to be a part of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where you allow your voice to be heard loud and clear. Andre, what is your final thought for this evening?
Take every opportunity each day to make it better than your yesterday.
And that is so important. That's the only way that you can get stronger and increase your ability to make a difference if you take an extra step every day to acknowledge the need to do better. Joyce, your final thought for today?
I'd just like to say very well said, Audrey. I just second everything that Audrey had to say.
All right. You know, it's important that we recognize that this show is our opportunity to get ourselves prepared for the future. Not only the future to make a difference in our own lives, but to make a difference in the lives of others. Dee, what is your final thought for today?
I just like to encourage everybody in the sound of our voice to call in and get involved in our world. We are in emergency mode to where we need everybody to come together and to participate in life itself. Regardless, it has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with religion, the difference thereof. You just take the opportunity, as Andre said, to make a difference. And I really appreciate y'all. It's a really real pleasure of knowing you. And I look forward to talking to y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, it's important that we just take a stand. And I appreciate the stand that you guys are taking to make Thoughts, Love, and Reflection a part of your regular schedule. We need to become a force, and we can't become a force of one. We have to become a pack, and we have to be trying to encourage people to do the right thing, to head in the right direction, and we have to recognize that our numbers create power. So I just want to continue and encourage those of you who are listening to become a part of the show by calling in. Your voice has to be heard, and you will make a difference on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Call in at 657-383-0309 and make this show a part of your regular schedule. We are ready and prepared to go through this whole year making sure our voices are heard loud and clear. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. West Coast Time, where we let everybody know exactly what's on our mind. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
have some.